Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today and to be able to open God's Word and share a thought that's been on my mind for several months now, and that is the subject of respecting the older generation. I'm confident today, I'm not speaking by opinion, we've lost that. We've lost the understanding of what God says about how we should treat the older generation. And I want with scriptures today to demonstrate to you that in order for us to be holy in the presence of our Lord, God Almighty, we must have respect and honor towards the older generation. If we don't have respect and honor for the older generation, then we are minus being holy before our God. I hope that you'll see that as we talk and reason together in scriptures. Somebody asked me, one of the younger married couples, I won't say his whole name, but Mr. Hall, he said to me, did somebody disrespect you this past week, Neil? I was thinking about people older, and here it is. I mean, anywhere we're at in the stage of life, there's always somebody younger, right? There's always somebody we need to be showing respect towards. And so I hope that you'll study with me this morning. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 19, the text that was read for us this morning. It's a powerful text. And when you look at the chapter prior to this and the chapter that this verse is found in, it is very evident to us that God commands holiness. That's what he's talking about in these chapters. And he presents a lot of powerful thoughts about how we demonstrate our holiness before God, and how we achieve holiness on this side of eternity. Now, I understand one might look at this and say, well, this is in the Old Testament. It's not the New Testament, so it doesn't apply to us. We'll look at New Testament scriptures today as well that will demonstrate to us that this thought that's presented in this text is echoed in the New Testament as well. But I want to read this again because it's a powerful text. And it teaches us as the younger generation how we should view the older generation. Again, I want to emphasize, this is not a matter of opinion. This is absolute truth. We have lost the biblical definition of how we are to treat the older generation. And it only takes a moment walking in society today and you see that. Us younger people, we walk through the door, and it's sad to say that many of the older generation holds the door for us now. It's sad. We walk through that door and prance through the doors at restaurants and other different places where an older man or an older lady is holding the door for us because they work there, and we prance right in there and not even give a thank you. We've lost it. That's just one aspect that we can see it very evident in. When we go on to talking to the older generation, it is evident there as well. It's evident in local congregations like Greenwood here. One of the things I do is I stand at the back of the building, several of the older generations there, my children and others included, walk right past the older generation, don't even say a word. And when we look at texts like this, it reminds us of how we are to interact with the older generation. Now, I want to say to the younger generation, I don't want you to think that any older man or lady put me up to this lesson this morning. It's something that I've just seen with my own eyes. And we need to be doing better with this here at Greenwood. Read with me. Verse 32. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. How we respond to the older generations demonstrates our fear or lack of fear towards our God. When we will not respect the older generation as God has called us to do, it demonstrates that we do not fear the Lord. We do not listen to what he has told us to do when it comes to our interaction with the older generation. You know, I've said to my children, you know, time and time again, if you need advice, come to me. But if they look at me and not see me reach out to the older generation and get input, how in the world can I expect my children to look at me and want my input? It just baffles my mind. I know we've got a lot of older, and I've been very mindful to say older and not old, as the Bible just said, but we've got a lot of older generation here, and I talk to them on a regular basis. Things that are going on, struggles that I'm having in my life, just things that I need information on, and I talk with them. What I'm not prone to do is go to people my own age. We'll look at a text and Bible where that can be the downfall of all of us. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times when we want insight into life, who do we go to? Our friends. People our same age. We're struggling with an important decision that needs to be made, and who do we go to? People our own age. I hope that you'll appreciate what we're trying to get across this morning with this lesson. If we do not respect the older age of this group and in society, we are telling God we do not fear Him. I hope that you'll connect those thoughts together this morning. I found an excerpt from a little online, as I was doing research for this. I typed in respect the elderly and I did a lot of research the last several months. And this was an excerpt from one of the articles that I found. I failed to put that on my notes, and I apologize for that. I'm sure I can find it if you would like to read the rest of it. But it simply says this: one of the scandals of the American church is that we place little worth on our senior saints. So local churches have a lot of ideas and little wisdom. Did you catch that? There's no truer statement made of religion, and I'm looking at denominations as well, religion in general, that in the United States of America, we have little worth for our senior saints. Now, you might challenge me on that and say that's not true, and that's okay. You can challenge me. But before you challenge me, I ask you to look within yourself and look around and see what we do with the older generation. When was the last time that you stepped outside your own age, your own family, and talked to an older person about something that was going on in the local congregation? And tried to get insight from somebody that has been through the trenches long before you were a Christian? We just don't. And as I mentioned, I see it with my own children. And you know, bless the older generation here at Greenwood. I'll tell my children, look at them in the eyes. Oh, they don't need to do that. No, they do. They do need to do that. And so as the older generation, as I'm trying to teach my children to respect the older generation, please don't tell my children that they don't need to respond to you that way. Because the Bible clearly teaches that they should rise. They should respect the older generation. And I hope that you'll appreciate what we're trying to do. This excerpt continues. It says, now it's not necessarily true that wisdom comes with age. The gentleman writing this says, I met a lot of elderly people over the years who had no wisdom at all. But to be fair, there are a lot of young men today that lack wisdom as well. So the coin is two-sided. I know when I first became a Christian, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32 was one of the texts that we looked at, and I'll tell you why. John Haynes, who you hear me often talk about, we had memory work to do in our teen class. And there were a list of 32 memory verses that we had to memorize by the end of the year. 32 verses. And when we first presented it, I said, I can't even remember 5 verses. You want me to remember 32? And he made a promise. He said, if you remember and memorize 32 Bible verses, I will memorize several chapters. And one of the chapters was Leviticus chapter 19. And so we set to task, and all of us young people halfway through the year, we had it down, we presented it, and John had to go through and quote by memory several chapters of the Bible, which he did. And when he read this, I thought, you don't know this, I had 2 earrings and 2 in each ear. I had a mohawk. I was a mess. I really was a mess. I didn't respect anybody, let alone the older generation. And when he read this and connected and explained the chapter, how we treat the older generation has a reflection upon how we view God, I thought, man alive, I better smarten my act up. And from that moment on, my view of the older generation changed. A couple weeks ago, I held the door for an older lady. And she was a sweet lady. She smiled when I held the door, and she continued to smile as she walked up. I had to hold the door for quite a long while for her. And as she got to the door, she said, "Somebody's mother taught this young man respect for the older generation." My mom did, and so did others. We all need to achieve it. I'm 44 years old, and that older lady looked at me and called me a young man, so I was smiling the rest of the day. But we here at Greenwood need to improve in this. We need to respect the older generation. And so I hope that you'll study with me about God's view of how He wants us to respect the older generation. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31 simply says this: "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29 simply says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of an old man is their gray hair," or their gray head, as some translations say. And we need to also listen to God's attitude towards the elderly. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4, "Even to your old age I am He, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you, says the Lord." To disrespect the elderly is to disrespect God. And it demonstrates that we lack in our holiness towards Him. We need to use the older generation not only for advice, but also understanding when it comes to life and it comes to Scripture. So I hope that you'll study with me this morning. I will say it was overwhelming to me to go through Scriptures and look at all the Bible verses that make reference to how we are to view the older generation. It is absolutely staggering. And those are just individual verses that deal with this subject. When you start looking into Scriptures and look at application side of it and see how it was used, I'll tell you what, if you have done any study in the Old Testament, you cannot walk away from the Old Testament and not understand how we are to view the older generation. If you walk away from the Old Testament and miss that point, you've missed a large section of the Old Testament. And I am fearful today that if we don't start talking on these subjects, the next generation that's going to come up, there will be no respect at all. There is hope yet today. We still see it happening today with some of the younger generation. But if we don't teach the next generation that comes along, boy, I am fearful what will happen to me if I'm allowed to live and my children bless me with grandchildren, how they will talk to me, how they will interact with me, and how they will stand before God because of how they talk to the older generation. We'll look at some of these verses. Again, we will not look at all of them. And I will say on each one of these subjects, there's minus about 20 verses that we could have added to this list as well. I was almost tempted to just put all the Bible verses on each subject. But I got tired, I'll be honest with you. There's just so many Bible verses that we could put up. So study with me. 1 Peter chapter, we've already looked at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, but 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 5, it simply says this: "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." One of the things you'll come to appreciate as we look at the New Testament Bible verses on this subject, when you look at the Old Testament and you look at the New Testament, they're very similar with what they're saying. They might say it a different way, but they are saying the same basics, giving us the same basic principle. And that is our respect, our honor before God. He sees it in view of how we treat the older generation. So when we look at honor and what the Bible has to say about honor towards the older generation, I want you to understand that it connects completely with how we view God. And so for those of us that sit in the seats and we think that we are holy and we are living the righteous life, but we in our lives we have no interaction or we avoid the older generation and don't seek their input, what we are saying is our worship is vain before our God. This is serious. This is not just a simple thought for us to pass over. God is very clear with how He wants us to treat the older generation. I like this verse and for many reasons. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. You know, we often simply and solely say, well, that's speaking about the elders of the local congregation. When you look at the Old Testament, there were no elders. There were elders of the city, but the church hadn't been established yet. And so when you look at the Old Testament, you study the Old Testament, you begin to appreciate that the elders of the city, that they were respected, they were held in high esteems. The ones in the temple that held high positions, but the elders in the city were held in high esteems. When we look at this text here, those of us that are younger are to respect the older. Let me ask you a question. Are there people that are older than 44 here? Yes, they are. So although Nick looks at me and said, hey, did somebody disrespect you? Is that why we laugh at that? But there are elders amongst us that are older than me. How do I view them? One might say, well, Neil, you're kind of in the prime of your life. You know, you kind of, depending on who you're talking to, some might say I'm over the prime. But you're still a young guy. Well, I have children. You know, I have lived my life. I've lived a hard life. I've got a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding about life. But I would do myself a great injustice by thinking I've got it all figured out. And I don't need anybody that's older than me. Well, we do that frequently. This text reminds me yet again that even at 44 years old, I am to respect the elders in the local congregation. It also teaches us that we're to be submissive to one another and to be clothed with humility. There it is there. One of the great struggles as we are young is pride. And I'll tell you, if we don't get our hands on pride in our life and choke it out of us, we will never honor anybody, let alone our God. Exodus chapter 20 mimics the same idea. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 19 says it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 through verse 3 talks about children respecting and honoring our parents. Did you catch it there? Honor, that word honor brought forth again. Honor is a powerful word. We understand it when it comes to the 4th of July. We understand it when it comes to Memorial Day. Those of us that have military veterans that have fought and died or have fought and come home with emotional wounds or physical wounds, we understand what honor's about. But we fail, sometimes miserably, when it comes to demonstrating the type of honor that God has told us to have when it comes to the older generation. I wish we had time to go through and look at all of these Bible verses, but we don't. I hope that what we've said will suffice for this morning, that it will challenge you, that you'll go home, that you'll look at scriptures and understand even more on your own how you are to honor the older generation. I want us to look at the idea of listening to their words. Turn over to 1 Kings. I made reference to this just a second ago. 1 Kings chapter 12, there's a situation there with Rehoboam, and he is needing some insight into some struggles in his life and some powerful decisions that need to be made. And so I think this is interesting. He calls together the older men. I want us to read this together. In 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 6, it says this, "And King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he was still lived and said, 'How do you advise me to answer these people?'" In verse 7, "And they spoke to him saying," and again, I wish we could read the entirety of it, but in verse 7 it says, "If you will be a servant to the people today and serve them, and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants." And then in verse 8, what's it say? "But he rejected the advice of the elders," the advice the elders had given him, "and consulted with young men who had grown up with him and stood before him." And we know the end result. How many times do we do that? We seek out the advice of the older generation, and they give us the advice that is sound, but we say within ourselves, "You're old-fashioned. That might have been how you did it in your day, but things are different today. And then we do the desires of our hearts. We listen to our friends, people our age or younger, and our life becomes a mess. You know, if there's anything that we can grasp again from the Old Testament, it's the idea of honoring the older generation, and it's also the idea of listening to what they have to say. And not only listening, but doing what they say. Because they've been there. They understand. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. Let's turn over there as well. Again, I wish we could go through that whole illustration. Probably should have done that, is just look at 1 Kings and study that all the way through and looked at the end results. And maybe it would have helped us to appreciate that idea of listening to the older generation. In Proverbs chapter 13, and in verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke or correction, as some translations say. I've had this happen in my own house. You know, my children would do something, I'll rebuke them, I'll sit down and I'll chastise them. Very hard sometimes to get the message through, and they'll walk away, and the next day they do the very same thing. And I shake my head. Pride is why a young person does that. Pride is why the middle-aged man does that. And pride is the reason that the old man does it as well. We've got to get rid of pride if we're going to have honor. And we've got to get rid of pride if we're going to be able to listen clearly to what the wise words have to say that comes from the older generation. I like this text because it teaches us so much. A scoffer does not listen to rebuke. That's powerful wording. I like Philemon verse 9 as well. It's got great understanding. I wasn't going to do that, but let's go over there. Philemon chapter 9. Let's turn over there. Verse 9. I think I said chapter 9, but verse 9. It says this, "Yet for love's sake, I would rather appeal to you, being such as one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner for Jesus Christ." Paul had advanced years of life physically, wrote a lot of powerful letters in prison, advanced in years. And we would do well to understand the writings of those epistles. He's aged, advanced in years, inspired of the Holy Spirit, but a lot of wisdom as well. And if we look around at our older generation, they've been there, they've done that, they've seen others, if they've not done it, succumb to a lot of the questions and struggles that we have that we're seeking advice from them for, we would do well to listen to their wise words. I'll tell you, our holiness before God is connected with how we listen to the older generation. This is one that I thought that I really struggled with. I'm beginning to wind the lesson down this morning. But I really struggled with it, not because of a lack of understanding or appreciation with it. It's just because of some of you all here. I know Dave is heavily involved with his mama, Mary, and the struggles that he goes through and the time that he could be spending doing things that he wanted to and wants to do, but he doesn't because he takes care of his mama. We all know that Miss Hilda passed away recently. We know that a lot of time was consumed with taking care of Miss Hilda by Miss Susie. And that is to be commended. That's a demonstration of honor, respect, but it's a fulfillment of what God says in Scriptures. And I struggle with it because it's an emotional part of this group here and what you all do. It is a struggle for me as well. My mama is dealing with a lot of health issues, and here I am, I'm 10 hours away from her. And it's a struggle. I want to be there more for her. I feel as I look at Scriptures that I'm lacking in this avenue. Somebody told me recently, "Neil, you can only do what you can do." And that is absolutely true to a certain degree, but what does God say about taking care of elderly family members? Let's look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 5. What's it say? And I don't want you to walk away from the lesson this morning feeling that if your parent is in an assisted living facility, that you are slacking on your responsibilities towards your parents. There are situations where it's impossible to take care of them at home. We don't have the training that individuals have, and so help is needed. But even in that, we don't just turn them over to a facility and walk away. One of the things that was so disheartening for me when I lived in Berksville, Kentucky, we used to go over every Sunday, and we'd hold a lesson there, a little service. I would sing a few songs, do a lesson for them, and you'd walk down these aisles, and you'd see people laying in their bed all crooked up and not able to move, and you'd talk to some of the workers there, and you'd say, "Who is that there?" "Well, this is so-and-so. Do they have family in the area?" "No, they haven't had family members come for at least 5 years." You're like, that is pitiful. It is so sad. One would just turn their family member over to a situation like that and not visit, and not be heavily involved in their family's life. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, what's it say? "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he is denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever." That's serious. You look at the Old Testament and you study some scriptures over there and you begin to appreciate that the older generation, again, it goes back to honor and understanding their holiness before their God and how their holiness was connected to how they treated the older generation. And they cared deeply for their old age and their family. Asians are one of the group of people that still are heavily involved with honoring their parents. I've known a lot of families that their patriarchs come in and they almost bow down to them. We in society today, we look at that and we shake our heads. But you see, when we look at scriptures, we begin to understand very clearly how God wants us to care for the older generation. Look over in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Again, I said I was winding the lesson down, and I am. I assure you that is happening. It'll come to a quick halt here in just a second. Deuteronomy chapter 27. In verse 16, "Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt." And all the people say, "Amen." I love that. You see, all the people agreed with this. They all had it in common. One of the discouraging things in raising children in today's society, and in particular amongst local congregations, is I have a standard for my children, and I do my best to understand what scriptures have to say on how they dress and what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. And I know there's a line to be crossed there, and sometimes I think we go overboard with it. But listen, a young girl shouldn't have Daisy Dukes on. And we as parents, when we allow that to happen with our young girls, that is shameful. It is shameful. When it comes to the care of the older generation, we should all see it in common. They are to be respected and honored. They are to be cared for. We shouldn't see in and I use this very loosely, Christian homes, we shouldn't see where one family is dedicated, like Miss Susie and Mr. Dave, to their mothers, and yet another family could care less about their mothers. But yet we all sit here and we call ourselves Christians, but yet there's two standards with how we view the older generation. It can't be that way. And that's one of the things I like about this text. "And all the people answered and said, Amen." Amen. They all agreed together that the person who did not care for his mother and father was to be cursed. It was to be shamed. And you can go down the line with all the subjects, like I said, with modesty and other different things. And we are all over the board with how we view that. And it's sad. And it's sad when it comes to this subject. So what do we need to do? I wind this lesson down. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll look at two quick verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You all have heard me read this a bunch of times. The elders decide to keep me here a long time. We're going to be looking at this verse for a long time as well. We'll look at it many more times. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and in verse 6 beginning, it simply says this: "And these words which I commend to you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your ways of your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them on them as a sign on your head, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. One of the things I've come to try and teach my children, especially my girls, because they're old enough, they need to be hugging the older generation, appreciating the older generation, making the older generation understand very clearly that they appreciate them. And we that have children need to be doing the same. Chapter 5 and verse 33 simply says this: You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong the days in the land which you possess. Now, I understand speaking about a different generation, but as we've looked today, the thoughts about how God views the older generation carries through to the new commandment which we are subject to today. And if we want to be well with our God, then we need to do better with how we treat the older generation. It saddens me deeply that when we struggle with huge issues, both in our own family life and with church issues, that we just kind of skim over and don't even talk to the older generation and get their input, their sound input, on how we should handle these situations. I'll tell you, one thing I've come to appreciate here at Greenwood, we are blessed immensely. We've got a young guy that's taken several preacher's training classes. We've got a guy that preached for many years, and I stand here and I preach the gospel. If I'm not here one Sunday, you're not even going to miss a beat. We've got three elders here. We're blessed, aren't we? A lot of congregations don't have two, but we've got three here. But you know what? We can take it to the next level. We have several older men that have served in that position of elders for many, many years. It would behoove us as the younger generation to not seek the counsel of the older generation of this group. Brethren, here at Greenwood, we must do better. And the wonderful thing is, we can. But it's going to take repentance on our part. And I hope that we all will. I know there's been several other children standing at the back with me as the older generation comes through, and I make my kids talk to them. And they've stood back there, and I'll tell them, hey, have you talked? No, I haven't talked to them. I say, well, say hello. And then they say hello, and then you can just see the awkwardness. But then after a few minutes, it dissipates. The next time they talk with you, it's easier. It's easier. So I challenge you as parents. Find one of the older generation this morning. Take your child up to them and force them, if you need to have a short conversation with them. In doing that, you are teaching your child to be holy before your God. Will you do that this morning? Will you listen to the words of God? I hope and pray that you will. And before Nick grabs one of your young children and brings them to me, tell him to find somebody that's older than me, please. It's good to be with you this morning. And I hope that you'll take this lesson as it's intended to be. And that's just the starting place for you to go home and study this week about how you should view and treat the older generation. Are you here this morning and not a child of God? Why not become one? You're here. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of living God? Are you willing to confess that before this group? Are you willing to turn from your selfish ways and place your life in God's hands solely and completely and seek Him with all your heart? If you're willing to do that, all of those things, then step into the aisle. Come to the front. Make that confession before this group. Raise your hand. I will come to you this morning. But make your request be made known by humble obedience. And it involves action on your part. We can help you anyway. Once you come to the front, raise your hand while we stand, while we sing.